We are back with the Well Women podcast. I am Dr. Laura, naturopathic doctor and creator of the Period Passport online program, as well as her Time of the Month membership.
And I'm Ashley LeClaire, a mental health and resilience coach and consultant and owner of ALC Wellness. Dr. Laura and I actually met each other, I think it was back in grade 9.
Yeah.
And we are, well, at least I am, I imagine she is too, super grateful to be able to support our clients in a collaborative kind of way now. It's been so cool to work together now that we're these grown adults.
Yeah.
So the Well Woman podcast, we want to kind of introduce you to what we're trying to create here. So Dr. Laura had launched this podcast in the past, and it was very successful and really great to listen to. She got super busy, and now we have decided that together we're going to take this on, and we're going to hopefully make it really fun. There's going to be an educational piece to it, because that's, you know, what Dr. Laura is really good at. Hopefully you find it to be really helpful and something that you actually look forward to indulging in. We've both agreed that we're gonna, you know, try not to hold back and let you into our lives a little bit. And ultimately, the two of us live very different lives. Laura is what we'll call hashtag mom and wife life, and I'm hashtag single AF life. And I think that contrast will actually make for some really great content. So I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited. Like Ashley said, I launched the podcast, I got busy, got pregnant, and here we are. So I'm excited to have the two of us really here to build it and chat with you guys about all things women's health from all different angles, from all different aspects. And like you said, not holding back. So TMI, if that's your jam, like that's where you are, that's you're listening to the right podcast. But we want you to engage with us, connect with us on social. I am at Dr. Laura ND and at ALC.wellness. We want your feedback, your questions, comments, and more. As always, rate and subscribe. It'll help us out. So let's really get into it. Today, we are talking about something that my patients don't like talking about, and every time they talk about it, they tell me that it's TMI. So, as I previously mentioned, this episode is going to get TMI real quick, but for me, this is just like an average day. I grew up with a mother who was a nurse, so I was used to talking about bodily functions at the dinner table on a regular basis, and it really didn't faze me. Fast forward now, I have a toddler who needs his bum wiped multiple times a day. If you want to see regular bowels, look after a toddler. Ashley, have you ever looked at your poop after you've gone, or are you more of a wipe, flush, and go?
So just for all of you that aren't used to talking about poop every single day, like Laura is, this is going to get a little weird. It's already a little weird for me. Do I look at it? Absolutely, I do. I have really weird bowels. I've always had an issue with my bowels. So every day it seems to be different. You know, Laura could give me lots of recommendations of how to fix that, but probably stop eating cheese would be the first one, and I'm not willing to do it. So yeah, I do look at my poop quite often. Is that normal?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you wouldn't believe the amount of people I speak to and they tell me that they don't. Like, oh, because my questions are always, I ask about your digestion. That's one of my questions, regardless of what you see me for. Your digestion always matters. I always say, how's your digestion? Patients always say, normal. I'm like, how do you know? Because people don't realize their normal is just their normal. Like, it doesn't mean that it's actually normal. So I ask them, how do you know? And most of them don't. When it comes to digestion, like, we don't sit around at work talking about our poop. And it's funny. Well, maybe I do.
Yeah, unless but... you.
And it, to me, it's so normal, but you see people get uncomfortable really quick. But we need to actually understand what normal means, why it's important to evaluate your poop each time. And so as an example, like, I'll have patients say to me, yeah, you know what? I have regular bowel movements. They're normal. We love using the word normal when we're describing things about ourselves that nobody knows except us. And I'm like, okay, We need to really, really talk about this because these patients tell me that they go for a bowel movement every second or third day and their doctor says it's fine. So do you know anyone that goes every second or third day and they think it's fine?
No, I thought it was like a at least daily thing. For me, it's definitely more than daily. Like I'm going a few times a day for sure.
It's like the other way. I know someone fully who goes once a week.
No.
Once a week. So
it hurts my belly just thinking about that.
Yeah. So it's a lot. I'm here to tell you that going going more than once a day if it's loose and like not a good stool obviously isn't normal. But you need to go every single day. Your stool is your body's way of getting rid of things it doesn't need, getting rid of toxins, getting rid of waste. Do you have skin concerns, acne, eczema, psoriasis? You need to be going every single day. Your stool is also your body's way of processing your hormones. Your gut has good and bad bacteria. This also processes your hormones. So if you have period problems, if you have endometriosis, PCOS, thyroid issues, any other hormonal issues, you need to be having poops every single day because your gut is the foundation. Now, the good and bad bacteria dictates what happens in our gut. So if we're not moving our bowels, this gives the bad bacteria a thriving environment to grow. And it sounds like your dog wants to be part of the conversation.
I am so embarrassed. But like, this is my life, guys. And it's funny that we're talking about bowels right now because my dog...
I was just going to say.
Yeah, my dog has poop issues, like major poop issues. So this is hilarious that she's like, let me in. I want to talk about it. She's in her crate. She's pissed off at me for being in her crate. But you know what? It's fine because I have to clean her poopy butt like 5 times a day.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about that, though.
All right. Like, why don't I tell you about my dog that has a bionic butthole? So when I adopted her... I was made aware that she was born without an anus. So she was found and she didn't have an anus. So she was actually pooping out of her vulva. So you can imagine the pain and the infection and what comes with that. And thankfully, the incredible people at the Alliston Humane Society kind of rallied and fundraised and raised a lot of money to have reconstructive surgery for her. And they were ultimately able to recreate a butthole for her. But that's because so it's not natural for her, she doesn't have full control over her bowels. So she poops like usually twice a day, like normal, but she's not as in control as I would like. So she does wear diapers. She's super cute wearing her little diapers running around. But yeah, it's a poopy mess most of the time in my house. So very funny that she tried to have a conversation with us while we're talking about this.
Yeah. So you definitely can relate, even though you don't have a toddler, you're still dealing with poopy messes. So you know all about the bowel movements, getting right in there. And honestly, like I will say for anybody who's a mom out there, there is not a time, like my son is almost 15 months and there's not a time where I feel like I'm going to get used to wiping his bum, like cleaning his poo. Like I still gag every single time. So that's on being a mom and wiping poo.
I didn't know doctors gagged with those types of things, but okay.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, I can talk about it, but like, I don't want to smell it. That's the thing. I'm like a super, super, my nose is very, very sensitive. Like when I was younger and we were in, I don't know, we'd move into a house or something. We'd move into a new house and the previous owners had a cat. And my mom would call me in the room and be like, can you go in that room in the closet? Smell. Tell me if there's cat pee. Tell me if the cat peed there, because literally I can smell everything. So fast forward to having a baby and like I fully gag when I have to change his bum.
You could not handle my dog then. I am like face into her butthole every single day. It is insane. Like, because I have to examine it, right? Because I have to make sure everything is, like, not inflamed and there's no, you know, well, she's recently had sores. Anyways, long story. We don't need to talk about my dog's butthole anymore. But, yeah, I feel you, moms, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's rough. And like, I will say, knock on wood, he's never had an explosive poo.
Never.
So I like, it's gone a little bit up his back, but like, never anything that the stories I hear, it's never happened. So,
well, my dog has had explosive poos out her diaper, I will say.
Oh, God.
I wish I was kidding.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So that's where, I mean, everybody, that's where we're at.
That's where we're at. Hashtag single dog mom life.
Yeah. And like, let's talk about what a normal poop is. So that okay. Next time you're looking in your dog's diaper, you can see if it's normal. So really, your poop should be easy to pass, but not too easy. So we don't want any straining. And then when you actually look at your poop, which if you don't already, you'll be doing now, there should not be any blood, mucus, or undigested food. Also, it shouldn't be loose. Like I said, easy to pass, but not too easy. So it shouldn't break upon flushing. It should be smooth. Really, we're looking at like what we would picture that smooth, snake-like brown. Obviously, the color does vary. We don't want it to be white. We don't want it to be black. And we don't want it to be red. But variations of brown, yellow-ish. And then that's it. No hemorrhoids, no straining, and you should be done in about 5 minutes. You know those people, if you guys have husbands, they're not done in 5 minutes. And I don't know if it's just to like sit there and use the phone, but they probably all have hemorrhoids. I'm telling you right now, your husbands have hemorrhoids. So,
oh, well, I don't feel bad for any of you that have husbands, because at least you have husbands. But that's fine. I'm not bitter. Fine. Okay, but I have a question. Why might there be mucus?
Oh, okay. So mucus is a sign of inflammation. Now, I just want to...
Because there could be mucus that comes from the vagina, right?
Yes, and that's what I want to pick apart is a lot of people, if I ask this question in my initial visits with patients, I'll be like, okay, so how's your digestion? Yada, yada, yada. Blood, mucus, undigested food. And they say, well... there's mucus sometimes. And I'm like, Oh, okay. How often? Well, I don't know, maybe a couple times a month. And then when it happens, and they're like, oh, maybe it does correlate with when I'm ovulating. Mm. And so that's something we really need to be careful of, because a lot of people will think, oh, I have mucus in my stool, but it's because obviously you're bearing down, you're pushing. And so if you have cervical mucus, that is that raw egg white mucus consistency, and you bear down, it's going to come out. So it's going to look like it's in your stool. So we really need to be careful of that. Usually when mucus is in the stool, it's like surrounding the stool. It's not like on top in the toilet.
Okay.
So that's the difference. The other thing is, as I always tell patients, just check, like literally wipe yourself, clean yourself, finish with your poop. And then after you wash your hands, put your finger in your vagina and feel.
Oh, I thought you were going to say in your poop. I was like, no. nope, not happening. I have gloves for my dog's poop, but I'm not touching my own.
Just put your finger in your poo and then you'll know. we're putting our finger in our vagina.
Better.
Because that's more normal. And basically just see if you are having that mucus that you can like string between two fingers, because if that's the case, then that's exactly what it was in the toilet. And then just keep note of it. Next time you see it in the toilet, where are you at in your cycle? Where are you at in your period? Should you be ovulating? And if you're seeing that cervical mucus, like on a side note, is it happening too often? Is it happening more than once? Like, when is it happening in your cycle? That'll give you an idea of what your hormones are looking like, as a side note. But also, you shouldn't need the whole toilet paper roll to wipe. I don't know the amount of people that use so much toilet paper. You know what? I grew up and my dad always used so much toilet paper, like wrapped his entire hand, like probably like 6 or 7 times. I'm like, so I feel like I learned that growing up.
I use quite a bit, but like not that much.
Just enough to like keep your hand clean.
I don't wrap my hand.
Well, if you're my dad, you do. Well,
hey, Dad.
You shouldn't have to use the entire toilet paper roll. So if you find yourself wiping and there's like if you feel like there's always poo, like that's a problem as well. So
okay,
that's the normal
poo. I feel like I've learned a lot.
That's the rundown of normal poo. And then we get the question, how often? So you said you go more than once a day. Some people go once a day. Really, you should just be going daily. Now, some people you'll hear say you have to go 3 times a day after each meal. I don't necessarily believe that's true. Really, a transit time for food should be about 12 hours. So once a day is fine.
Transit time. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so when we're eating, we need to make sure that we're absorbing, digesting, and passing the food appropriately. Now you can actually measure your transit time to see if your poop's going too fast or too slow. Because sometimes what'll happen is if somebody is super constipated, have you ever, so this is, I mean, we're already TMI, but like here we are. Have you ever had a poop where it comes out and it's like a few different colors?
Yeah, like frequently.
So it comes out and it's like half of it's like light brown and then there's like a green and then it's like.
I've never had like, green. Usually it's just different colors of like browny, orangey, blacky kind of.
Oh, okay. Black doesn't
sound great. I say black because I take Pepto pills when I have to like go out. It's a long story. We'll talk about that in a bit, but Pepto pills save my butt sometimes, literally.
Okay.
So after that, that's when they usually, it goes darker.
Okay. So basically what I'm trying to say is sometimes what can happen is like when you're having a bowel movement, you don't necessarily always know what or when the stool is from, right? Mm-hmm. So basically you want to make sure that you're understanding when it's from. So if you have stool that's from like 3 days ago or stool that's from yesterday. So a good transit time tracker, two things, beets or corn. So corn is notoriously in your poop. When you eat corn, you see it the next day. And so really, if you're seeing corn the next day, if you're seeing it earlier than 12 hours, or if you're seeing it later, like if you're seeing it 3 days from now or 2 days from now, or it's like still continuously in your stool and you haven't eaten it, then that's a problem. That means that you're not getting rid of your stool.
Right. I heard that corn is like the husk. When you poop it out and you see it in your poop, it's not actually like, so I always thought it came out like undigested. Like it was just like came out as is. And I could never understand that. And then someone told me, and this might, hopefully this isn't not like untrue. I feel bad lying to everyone, but that it's actually like the husk filled with poop. That's why it looks like a full corn.
Yeah. It's the same thing with peas.
Oh, I don't eat peas. So I want to know. I've not eaten pea in years.
It's like literally, because if you look at
the outside just gets filled with poop and then it looks like a piece of corn.
Piece of corn. I know. It's like you look at the stool and you're like, I chewed that.
I definitely chewed that.
No, it is. It's true. And it's a transit marker. So it goes through our system and the actual like shell of the corn doesn't actually break down or digest properly. And it comes right out. So another way to do that is beets. So don't be alarmed with this, but if you eat cooked beets, your stool will be red. And so if you mark when you start seeing the red stool, that's how quickly it's going through your system. And so making sure that you're looking at that is important, because what can happen is you can be going every single day and be constipated. And people are probably like, how does that even make sense? But I'm going to go into like a little bit of a personal story, and it's actually quite embarrassing, but it's one of the reasons why I became a naturopathic doctor, like why I do what I do, is because of this personal story. So I have a serious history of constipation. So I would always go, and it was kind of a joke in my household, like Laura's got to go, like in mid meal, I would have to go poo. Like I would be like eating dinner. It's like a baby, like you eat and you're pooping while you're eating. Literally I would have to go as soon as a meal started or as soon as a meal ended. And I would be like urgency, like rushing to the bathroom, and I would always go. I always had small poos, but I just thought that was normal because I was a teenager and like that was what I always did. So I just thought, yeah, no, that's like, that's fine. I go every single day. My mom always used to joke that like, oh, Laura has the best digestive system, because I would go after each meal. So it turns out that I was super constipated. So let me just kind of, I'll talk about what my whole kind of constipation story, but I mean, I like no teenager wants to poo, first of all. So you go to someone's house or you're at like a party in high school or something else and you don't want to have to poo. So think about me dealing with these like urgency issues. I'm like, how am I going to go anywhere? I don't want to poop in public. So I would literally take Advil when I felt cramping that I had to take a bowel movement. I would take Advil to like get rid of the pain and like try to forget I had to poo.
That sounds horrible.
It was so bad. It's so bad for you. And not to mention, Advil is awful for your gut. So I would try to ignore the cramping of having to go. Eventually the urgency would go away, but like this set me up for awful bowel habits. Like it was so bad. And so kind of fast forward, I would go, like I mentioned, every single day, but it wasn't a full bowel movement. And so have you ever been in a situation like that? What, like, tell me about your...
So mine is the opposite. I'm definitely not constipated. I am like emergency poops. My roommate actually calls it my poop walk. I do this like... If she could hear me right now, she's probably laughing. I do this like almost like a pigeon waddle, like really quick to the bathroom, and like my feet go a different speed than my normal walk, and it's like, you know, like it's time now, like get out of the way. So I've always had the opposite. I've struggled with social anxiety my entire life, and I found a really big connection with my anxiety and my poop. I've always said I'm like 100% an anxious pooper. Anytime there was like something important or fun, or like, God forbid, I was like getting ready, even getting ready to like go out on like a date or anything like that, it was like, I knew that I would have like poop pains and have to go first, which is where this Pepto thing comes up, because I've unfortunately had to get into the habit of like being preventative, right? Like even last night, like, I knew I was going somewhere where there was a chance that I would, you know, get my kind of poop walk would happen. So I preventatively took 2 Pepto pills and it helped, you know, gets me through. So, no, I've never experienced I've always just had to go when I had to go, 'cause there's no holding it back really.
Yeah. And do you feel like, it sounds like you anticipated a little bit too. Do you feel like the mental health aspect, like the anticipation of it?
Absolutely. The stress of it. It's much better now that I'm, you know, older and I'm not scared of poop as much as I used to be, right? Like back then, like when we were teenagers, like, oh my gosh, like the idea of, you know, having to poop somewhere was just out of this world.
At a boyfriend's house.
Right? Imagine like the pain that we went through to hold that in. Now that I'm an adult, I don't really care. Like it's fine.
So yeah. Like gotta go.
Like see you in 5, like I'll be fine. Get out of my way. I'm throwing elbows. Like,
but honestly, and when you're pregnant, it's like a whole other like level of constipation that you can't even comprehend. I remember just being in the washroom, like just like almost crying, being like, I can't poop. Like it's bad. It's bad. So we have the opposite problems.
Yeah, seems like it.
So, I mean, like I said, it set me up for awful bowel habits, history of constipation. And a lot of teenagers do this. We hold our poop and it's like, is this bad? What does this actually do? Can this be harmful? This is a question a lot of people ask. And so here's why it's bad. Our body has a system for sending a signal when our rectum is full and needs to be emptied. So this built-in system is the gastrocolic reflux. This brings on the urge to pass a bowel movement after eating. So this is why newborns sometimes poop while they're eating, because their body's making more food to making room for more food to digest. So it's most prevalent in children. They often use the toilet right after a meal, but that's, it becomes less common.
Sorry to interrupt you. That's me. Yeah. Like I'll be sitting at the dinner table and like we're finished and like we're chatting or whatever, and then I'm like, oh, excuse me, like poop walk to the bathroom. Like, well, every time.
And I'm wondering, but it makes me wonder with you, I'm kind of like, are you obviously, I've never seen your poo, and we actually haven't really spoken about this in depth, but I'm I'm just wondering if you're actually maybe constipated and you're just letting out like little amounts at a time. Is it a small amount or is it a lot?
No, definitely not.
Okay, so it's a lot.
Because I think also, I just have some food intolerances as well that I should be more careful with. That I've just, you know, life is hard enough already. I'm not giving up what I love.
So, I mean, for those who are constipated, the longer the stool is held in the rectum, the more water is absorbed from it. This makes your stool harder, more difficult to pass. Passing harder stools can cause hemorrhoids and fissures, which is a tear in the anal canal. And then that causes more pain, leading to more hesitation. And often this is what happens with kids and toddlers. Their poop gets so big, they're scared to have a poop. Most toddlers are at first. And then they hold it and then it gets harder. And then it causes a tear. And then they're scared to go again because it hurts. Anybody who's ever experienced hemorrhoids, they are painful. I did not experience them until I was pregnant, and man, will I tell you, they are next level. Next level. So it's wild. Yes, Ashley.
I've never had one, and I'm really hope that I never do.
Yeah, no, it's awful. And honestly, the fissures themselves can be painful. They can bleed. They can take time to heal. And then in extreme cases, when you hold your stool repeatedly after long periods of time, it can actually result in a loss of sensation. So that can make it more difficult to know when you have to go. Again, this cycle of harder stool and more constipation. So yes, holding your stool is really actually harmful. And taking Advil is not good.
And no kidding. Was not,
but I mean, like, at least you were taking something related to digestion. Right, yes. I was taking Advil. Now, I'll be clear. I was like 15. Okay. I wasn't like becoming a doctor taking Advil for my stomach pain, but that was me as a teenager. Like, you know,
I'm glad your butt made it through. Okay.
I know. Me too. And so let's talk about some of the reasons why you're not having bowel movements and what we can do about it. So first of all, and I find the problem in a lot of teenagers, a lot of teenage girls have many of these issues because let's face it, like we have a lot of, there's a lot of issues around food from a health, like I guess a health perspective. Ashley, do you know much about orthorexia?
Never heard of it. Should I have?
So orthorexia is the obsession with eating healthy. So it's like an eating disorder where people are obsessed with eating healthy. And honestly, I will say a lot of people who I went to school with probably have this because as naturopathic doctors, we have, and holistic nutrition as well.
Yep.
They have this like pressure put on them to eat, like you have to be gluten-free and dairy-free, no nightshades, no inflammatory foods, no sugar, no processed foods. Like it's
heaven forbid, no pizza.
Yeah, heaven forbid. And so doing a lot of these types of things, especially in young girls are so impressionable.
Yep.
And a lot of these healthy eating restrictive behaviors, I'm putting healthy eating in quotes because it becomes restrictive behaviors. And I find that a lot of girls are lacking a lot of things. One of those is water, and the other one of those is fiber. And yes, a lot of adults are lacking those things as well. But I think that a lot of this is learned behavior, and you can probably speak to this as well from the struggle that teenagers have with food and the idea as a girl that we have to eat a certain way. And yes, this impacts our poop. And yes, this impacts our digestion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, especially with social media. So for those of you who don't know, I specialize and do a lot of work with social media safety and just the idea of social media now with our youth and how, I mean, even for me, I'm, you know, 29 years old and I am so impacted by what I see on social media and we're told that we have to look a certain way and, you know, all of these different types of detoxes and this and that and just garbage constantly thrown at us that you're right. We are forced into this world where, you know, it, especially if you're young and impressionable, they think that they need to be, you know, eating this certain way or not eating at all. And that's absolutely going to affect your bowel movements and your overall health and your mental health and everything that comes with that.
Yeah. And I find that especially, and they're not necessarily like, they're not necessarily following unhealthy trends or unhealthy, overarching advice, but they're doing it wrong. And so it ends up with a lack of fiber, a lack of healthy fats, a lack of healthy bacteria. And a lot of girls don't drink water. Like that's just what happens. They don't drink water. And it's like one of the simplest tools, one of the reasons why a lot of young girls are constipated and a lot of grown adult women is that they don't drink water because we're so obsessed. I feel like we're in like a little bit of a coffee obsessed culture as well. So
I am such a water drinker. It's insane. Like water is my go-to all the time. I always have my cup, the same cup everywhere I go. But I've also never really been a coffee drinker. So I've never really gotten to that point, but I can imagine I know how much coffee dehydrates you and means that you have to drink even more water. So if you're not kind of, you know, offsetting that, it could be even more, you know, you're doing even more damage to your body that way.
Yeah. And it's surprising the amount of patients I talk to who are really shocked at what I say when I'm like, yeah, caffeine dehydrates you. You need to drink water to equal your coffee before you even count your water intake. And so one of the reasons why we're dehydrated and like the amount of girls that I'll see like teenage girls, I keep saying teenage girls because this is the area of life where we're so impressionable and we're in high school and we're just like trying to fit in and we're trying to find our way and we're just learning and growing and so much is happening and we are so impacted by trends and things we see on social media. And like you said, you specialize in social media safety, which is so important now. But even like girls I speak with and it's like, oh, what is your day look like in terms of food? And they say, oh, well, I skip breakfast and then I go to school and then I get an ice cap. And then,
I hear that all the time with my teenage clients all the time.
Yeah. And that ice cap, like when are you drinking water? They're not. And so then they're constipated and then they're setting themselves up for digestive issues later in life. And like you said, and we said, when you're in high school, you don't want to poop in public. And so the pattern goes, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then on the other end, caffeine makes you poop. And so a lot of people will say like, oh, I can't go without my coffee. If you can't go without your coffee, that is a problem. That is something we need to evaluate. Again, it's a combination of caffeine does dehydrate you, but caffeine also stimulates your bowels. And so if caffeine's the only thing making you go each day, then there's something else going on.
Very interesting.
So, I mean, on top of that, I know we kind of went on a tangent, but I think it's important. Yeah, I mean, it's really important to understand the reasons also. So like I mentioned, dehydration, lack of fiber, the amount of fiber that we have is so important. Like think about it this way. We are aiming for 25 grams a day. 25 grams. If you look at your average food, it might have 1 gram, depending on what you are eating. If you're eating a lot of processed foods, the fiber is going to be gone. If you juice your fruits and vegetables, the fiber is gone. Juicing is fine. There's lots of great things that come with juicing, but fiber is not one of them. So we need to really be mindful when we are consuming our fruits and vegetables that we're not just consuming them in powders and in juices. And yes, powders can have fiber depending on what the product is, but getting a vast array of fruits and vegetables is really, really important to our gut health because not only does that bring fiber to the table, but it brings good bacteria. Your gut bacteria feeds off of what we give it. And if you're only giving it ice caps, cucumber, tomato, and lettuce, your gut bacteria is not going to change in a beneficial way. What I tell my patients with this gut bacteria is you have to have this good and bad bacteria. It is impacted significantly by diet. But here's the thing. If you have a healthy diet, even if you have a healthy diet that has like fish and chicken and salad, and that's all you eat every single day, your gut bacteria is still not going to be diverse enough. You need new food to grow and foster the environment for that bacteria. So what I recommend my patients do is go to the store every single week and pick a fruit or vegetable that you've never had before. Literally use Google, look up how to cook it, and add it to your week. And that's what you do to change your microbiome.
That is such an interesting technique. I would never have considered that.
Yeah. And I go and I find, and you know what? Sometimes I don't like the vegetables I pick. My biggest pet peeve is when people will not try fruits and vegetables because they don't like them. And I'm like, well, I don't know. You're going to have to. You're going to have to try. We're going to have to figure this out because supplements cannot out-supplement a poor diet. We need to change our microbiome. We need to stop looking at food from a perspective of let's restrict it and take it away and don't eat this and that food's bad and that food's inflammatory. And we need to look at it from a perspective of let's add that food because it's nourishing and because it feeds my gut bacteria in a beneficial way and because it gives me fiber and nutrients and helps me move my bowels. And so I feel like we need to change the conversation so that we are pooping and so that we are able to poop because we need to have regular bowel movements to fix our acne. And I did a post on Instagram about acne yesterday and a lot of people resonated with it because I suffer from acne. And here's the thing, when you see me and you see me because you want to fix your acne, I'm going to talk about your poop first, because if you are not having a bowel movement every single day, you are not going to fix your acne no matter what supplement I throw at you.
Hmm. Very interesting. It's so, like you have to fix the internal first, right? Like if there's issues going on internally, you need to focus on that. It's very similar to my work with mental health. You know, if you want, you know, things in your outside life to change, and that could be related to acne as well. You know, that stress and that internal trauma and those things that are going on inside need to be worked through.
Yep. 100%. And if they're not, then you run into problems. And the thing is we live in a society where it is better to be constipated and not have acne. And it is unfortunate because people will come see me. Their first concern is their acne. Their first concern is their hair loss. Well, listen, when you have internal imbalances, those are the first things to go, unfortunately. But I feel it. I feel the insecurity. Like I said, my biggest insecurity is my acne. And so everybody has their thing. And I totally understand wanting to do quick fixes and wanting to do the next thing and spending all the money on the laser and whatever else. But at the end of the day, we need to do the work, whether it's through mental health, whether it's through internal health, or a combination of the two, physically, mentally, emotionally.
Absolutely.
So it is really interesting that we need to make sure that we are having bowel movements. It is the foundation of your health, and we need to not hold our bowel movements. The last thing is food sensitivities. And so you kind of alluded to that. I think I have some food sensitivities. I think that's really interesting because I do think that, yes, there are food sensitivities. We have things like lactose intolerance. Sometimes we're missing certain enzymes to break down certain foods. But I think that at the core of everything, I think the majority of people probably have a gut issue rather than a food issue.
Interesting.
And so Ashley knows this, but I usually run a test called the GI MAP test. And it's one stool sample, and it looks at gut bacteria. It looks at stomach acid levels. It looks at inflammatory markers. It looks at your response to gluten. It looks at your immune system function in the gut. It looks at if you have an overgrowth, like the amount of patients that come see me and tell me they have candida and they do not. So it looks at all of these various different things that we can find in our stool, because in the best circumstances with a healthy gut, we should be able to digest and absorb the food that we're consuming. But when you are in a state of imbalance, whether that's low stomach acid causing an infection or causing an overgrowth, and that overgrowth causing inflammation, and that inflammation causing symptoms and other overgrowth, if you're in a state of healthy gut, you should be able to tolerate most whole foods.
Okay. My brain is just spinning over here, you know, because suffering with gut issues for so long, it's just like, we've had this conversation before, like having Dr. Laura in my life for as long as she has been, like, I know that I have her support in this, but I've just, it's a lot. And I know that I'm not alone in this feeling of like overwhelm, right? Like there's so many things that need to be looked at and big lifestyle changes, and it's hard. And I think that's what's really, you know, makes both of us so human, is like you speaking openly about your insecurities with acne, me being very vocal about the fact that I still absolutely struggle with food and what that looks like for me and how it impacts me in every aspect of my life. And, you know, we're human here. And I think this is kind of a cool way maybe to wrap up a little bit, is just to remind everyone that we want to create this space to show you that there are people around you that want to support you, that are, you know, equipped to support you, but are also going through their own things in life. And, you know, like we're a community here. We're a community of well women is what we're trying to create. And I hope that this podcast is, you know, able to bring people together, to help you learn. If you didn't learn something today, you weren't listening. You weren't listening. Even if you just learned about my dog's butthole, like you learned something. I'm so grateful that we got to do this. I don't know. Laura, do you have anything else that you want to, like, how do you want to wrap up right now?
Yeah, I think that the whole point, and like you mentioned previously, we want to empower people. I always want to educate and empower and help women make the decisions that make the most sense for their health and their health journey. And so how do we do that? We do that with information. We do that with accurate information. And so what I hope, what Ashley and I hope to provide is the education and the tools and our different experiences and our different opinions from the type of life that we live, because like you said, the life we are living is very different, and it's kind of nice to have those two perspectives. So we're going to grow and change. And as we grow and change, we hope to bring everybody along. And I hope that everybody likes this new kind of revamp, relaunch of the Well Women podcast. And as always, follow us on social. And if you have any questions at all, reach out. If you have episode ideas or questions, let us know. You can always find us on Instagram. But also, this is going to be lots of TMI. We got lots of juicy stuff coming up. We hope to answer your questions that you are too afraid to ask your friend or your doctor, and Dr. Google doesn't have the answer. So I'm super excited to talk more about this, and look forward to what's coming up next.
All right, everyone. See you next time.
Thanks.